Morning, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, our processional gospel began with our traditional Palm Sunday, waving the palms, the processing in, and we have an arrangement of the palms down front today for that, since not too many people were able to partake in our parade, but we know that you are here in thought. So little Johnny hardly ever missed church, but he was sick. Couldn't make it to church. So his mom stayed at home with him. His dad went to church. It was Palm Sunday. So an hour and a half later, dad comes home and he's got a palm. And he's walking around with the palm, and Johnny said, "Dad, what is that thing?" And his dad said, "Well, Johnny, this is a palm branch. Today at church, we celebrated Palm Sunday." Johnny said, "Well, what is Palm Sunday?" His dad went on to say, "Well, Johnny, that's the Sunday week before Jesus, the week of Jesus' death, where when he came into the city of Jerusalem, crowds cheered. There was a big parade for him. He rode in on a donkey. And they waved the palms and said, Hosanna, and welcomed him. It was a big celebration." Okay, so why did you have one at church today? Well, like I said, when Jesus came, we wanted to be waving our palms. Dad looked at Johnny, and Johnny just looked disheartened, sad, upset. His dad said, "Well, Johnny, what's wrong?" "Well, Dad, the one Sunday I'm sick and Jesus shows up." Well, Jesus did show up, not just in the procession of the palms. Jesus showed up at what we would in human life call the end, on the cross. So today, both being Palm Sunday and Sunday of the Passion of our Lord, we usually do hear about that heralded entry and how exciting that is and the smiles and happiness. Now, I always remember fondly Palm Sunday. I was sitting in that back pew. I was smacking my grandpa in the face with it all the time. If he was asleep, I was waking him up with it. Okay, and luckily, I didn't get backhanded off the pew. But the gospel reading that I just read has to be the saddest story in the Bible. Sometimes when I read it, it moves me to tears, imagining Jesus being mocked, being spit on, being stripped, being flogged, being called in jest King of the Jews. If we didn't know better in this story, we would believe that Jesus was powerless. If we didn't know better, we would think that Jesus' ministry was a failure at this point. Jesus did show up, but why like this? Since Christmas, we've heard many stories about Jesus showing up. We met John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey and wearing animal skins and proclaiming that the one who follows him will be greater than he. We met the men called to be his disciples. We met the woman at the well where Jesus tells of living water. We met the sisters, Mary and Martha. We met the blind man and hear Jesus say that he is the light of the world. Last week we met Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, and hear Jesus tell them that he is the resurrection and the life. All of these stories of Jesus are quite different than today's gospel. Jesus, God become man, knew what was to come. He knew of the suffering. He knew that he was going to have to bear this alone. So why did he allow this to happen? Why was the Son of God willing to be put to shame, to be traded out for the release of a prisoner named Barabbas, to be mocked, to be robed and stripped, to be beaten, spit upon, ridiculed with a crown of thorns, and executed like a criminal? Why does God allow this to happen? Well, it may be hard to understand sometimes why suffering is necessary. Jesus knew all that was going on, all that was going to happen since he had turned his face to Jerusalem some weeks before. He knew the scriptures would be fulfilled from the Old Testament, and he also chose that fate to die. Today we continue to deal with the changes in our lives due to health crisis. We hear that possibly over 100,000 may die from COVID-19. We see the numbers afflicted continue to grow. And as of yesterday, the peak in North Carolina is estimated to come somewhere around April 16th, is what they estimate. Our daily lives, our church life, for sure, has been changed. Our school lives, our work lives, and things we do at play and in our leisure time have all changed. Just in our school system, the past 3 weeks alone, we've made changes seemingly every single day regarding staff, students, how we deliver content, how we pick up content from the students, how we deliver meals. Parents, students, teachers, and administrators ask when this will end so that we can return to normal. We're a needy group of people, aren't we? We need to know why. We ask why bad things happen to us, and we ask, why would God allow such suffering to happen? It's because we're human, just like those in the gospel today. The words we hear today are disheartening coming from the people. From the scriptures, over his head, "This is the King of the Jews. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." He saved others. He cannot save himself. If he comes down from the cross and saves himself, we will believe in him. I'd like to think that we'd be ashamed to have acted and said what these people have done, especially to a man as great as Jesus. Much the same, though, we do act in ways that we'd not see as being very Christian. Yes, we're like some of the characters in Matthew's gospel. We cheer, then we jeer. We judge, we turn on each other. We stray, we focus on things that show our weaknesses and that we are captive to sin. Again, why? Why? Because it is in times like these that God comes to us just like he did through the life and death of Jesus. He comes to us in times of difficulty, in our weakness, in times when we are the most vulnerable, but not necessarily the way we want God to come to us. Even so, God does come to us in those times of weakness and distress to redeem our sins and accept us as we are, broken, humbled, and when we feel most unloved. And when we feel alone and abandoned, much the way Jesus must have felt as he faced the trial, being beaten, mocked, and swapped for the criminal Barabbas by the Jews. So why, we ask? The answer is simple. Because Jesus was not powerless, as seen by the Romans and the chief priests. He was the solution to the problems of the world, both then and now. He holds all power, the power to heal, the power to carry our burdens, the power to redeem our sins and claim victory on the cross. He's the reason that we don't have to wait for better days to come. Just as Matthew kind of skipped to the resurrection ahead of time and gave us the foretaste of Easter, we can do our best to break the chains of sin and death and to move to new life and the resurrection. So God does come to us through Jesus. The good, the bad, and everyone in between. He invites us to live in Him. Why? Is it because we deserve it? Certainly not. We can never deserve the grace of God that renews our faith and that He provides for us. But with God, we can show up and be of help and hope to those in need, whether it be physically, mentally, or spiritually. So we can be glad and rejoice that Jesus showed up for us and shared His power over death. We can hope to react in the same way the centurion and the people watching over Jesus reacted when they said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Amen.